once again, here's Mark.
Well, welcome everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. And I can guarantee you the next 2 hours is going to be kind of, I don't know. I don't know what the word to use. Raunchy, raucous, you know. I'm not quite sure. But nevertheless, it is Father's Day, so we want to wish all you fathers.
Father's Day, actually.
Tomorrow? Okay. Thank you very much. Is this the way it's going to be? Is this the way it's going to be?
Happy Father's Day, you two.
Oh, and thank you very much. And,
thank you.
And actually, she's as much of a father here as anybody else is. So, so anyway, and sitting to my right is my son, Alan. He runs the shop, the floor. He runs the maintenance side of our business as well as the performance side of our business. And the performance side of our business has to do with gray-haired guys with more money than sense who take the menu and mark 9 out of 10 items on it because they want their truck to be real high or real low or real fast or real slow or whatever. Yeah, how'd you like that? Real high or real low?
Unlike you guys, right? You don't like the fast cars and stuff.
Yeah,
on your truck.
Did you see what he did this morning over there?
Yeah.
Okay, folks, right next door we have a car wash and it's got some slick concrete and it's been raining. So I'm looking over there, and I'm seeing this white Ford truck that's got belching black smoke, and it's doing donuts, circles over at the car wash. Then I recognize after the smoke clears, it's my truck. It's the shop truck, and he's driving it.
And he goes, oh, he probably has his kids in the car. I can't believe he's doing that. And I'm like, coming from the dad that did donuts in the car with me and crashed the car?
I did.
Okay.
I admit it. Folks, I used to say to the kids when you were a lot younger, I used to say to you guys, do you want to take a spin through the car wash? And, of course, the first 10 times you didn't get the relationship because you were, you know, young kids. So I would pull in and I'd drive through a bay to get the tires wet. And then no one was there and I would do 2 or 3 donuts. So I'm drawing this picture for them, for the rest of them. So one day we're coming back, and I think you're in high school because I think you were at Valley Christian, mm-hmm. and I think you were playing volleyball. Mm-hmm. So we're in a Suburban with a 454 and a blower on it. So it's this high-performance son of a gun. So I say to you, and you're sitting in the passenger side, and Mother and the rest of the kids are kind of waiting for us to pull out of the parking lot. So I pull in, and I start spinning circles. Unbeknownst to me, the tires bite. They launch us into the wall. And the next thing we know, the Suburban is at a 45-degree angle on the wall. And your mother
screaming.
And your mother is yelling at me using bad words I've never heard her use before. And you're in the passenger seat, completely stunned. And through the grace of God, of course, the damage was $15,000, but it didn't pop the airbags.
No.
And so
we got a good laugh out of it.
Well, we did. And then, if I'm not mistaken, we ended up pushing the Suburban over to the side. And, of course, it was leaking every fluid it had because I just wiped out the front end. And the next morning I got here and someone had wrapped it in crime scene tape, which was funny.
Is that before? Did we have that big bumper and winch on it then?
Oh, yeah.
I can't. You hit it hard then.
Oh, yes. Oh, that pole that was protecting the wall was sheared off like a toothpick. We put big ballards in front of the wall.
You would have thought with that bumper that it would have absorbed a lot of stuff.
Oh, no, that bumper was a V. Yeah, it was just where we hit the wall. You weren't even there, were you? Or were you in Mom's car?
No, I don't think I was there.
I know your mom was really mad. I mean, she was really, really mad because we took a spin around the car wash and it didn't turn out like it did. But I want to draw your attention that he did the same thing in a similar way. You could see the black marks over there. He's spinning. All of a sudden, it bites. And you can see a little wobble in the front end as he tries to gather that thing up.
That is. You got to make sure you either stay or stop quick. Because otherwise it does it for you.
And that concrete is slick over there.
Especially when it's raining.
Yeah.
I don't even know why we had it glazed like that because that's not. But just to
I've only fallen like 15 times.
We want to tell people, too, that this area is completely contained.
Yeah.
There's a driveway in and out, but all the way around this area that we're being stupid at is walls. And so you're not going to end up out on Warner Road with the back chasing the front of your car. So it's it is on private property, although it is against the law to be reckless on private property.
I wasn't reckless. I was completely under control.
Thankfully, you guys do it most of the time when no one's there.
No, my kids like it the most.
No, you got to do it. You can't.
Oh, yeah. Like they like your aggravating.
People, they don't like that. I was here right after radio one Saturday, and all of a sudden I hear this little rice burner, and he's over there doing sideway drifts. And so I go down the back door, and I walk over there because I'm going to grab a hold of him and say, hey, you're not allowed to do that here, only me.
Yeah.
and he zips over to Quick Trip, when it was Quick Trip, and there was two or three people in the car wash, and they were mad at him. They yeah. were really mad at him. But I think when we're stupid on the family property.
Yeah, I never do it.
No, if anybody's yeah. there, I don't
yeah.
do
I've never done it with people over there.
All righty.
Yeah, I'd end up in their rear bumper. With my luck, the one time I'm one person.
I don't know if they'd
that...
be more scared of you going into the rear bumper or the truck.
Serious. Oh, guys. All righty. So, Andy, and we talked about Alan, what his responsibility was, which is downstairs, all the staff and the maintenance side and the performance side. Andy is in charge of everything. Andy handles the money and the staff, and she handles all the administration stuff. The best part of Andy is on her business card. It says, Andy Salem, CEO, CFO. And then on the bottom it says, full-time babysitter for the men at Salem Boys. Now, does it say the men at Salem Boys or the boys at Salem Boys? Do you
men.
Remember?
Yeah, it says
it's men.
Yeah.
So it's a full-time babysitter for the men at Salem Boys. Mm-hmm. I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
Do other people
oh,
comment
yeah.
on that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So and that represents your job perfectly.
Yeah.
Is you are a full-time babysitter. And it's kind of like... It's like normal in our family. There's always the Jack the Ripper and Snow White.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy next to me is the Joker.
and
Mr. Happy
I've
Aunt Go-Lucky.
I've seen him be Jack the Ripper.
Oh, yeah, that's
it
true.
It comes out every once in a while.
Yeah, but you're the one that's kind of responsible for handling the, you know, the negative part of,
yeah.
you know, if somebody drops a car off the hoist, then you're going to end up talking to him or something like
yeah.
that. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We've got, how many years have you been in the family business, Andy?
My whole life.
Okay, I know, but give me since.
I've been.
Well, you've not had another job, right?
No, I've coached and stuff like that, sports,
yeah.
but, so 17 years.
17 years. Mm-hmm. But.
I mean, I worked here through high school and stuff.
Right, we're going to count that. And then we're also going to count the day before we opened in 1994 in our new building, and I don't know, one of our staff's wives was chasing you,
mm-hmm.
and you hit your eye on the corner of the alignment rack, and so the night before we opened our new shop, we were at the emergency room having your eye stitched up.
Mm-hmm.
So I do remember that, and that really goes back 24 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
so you were picking up cigarette butts in the parking lot like the rest of the kids were.
Yeah.
Alan, how many years have you been around?
Too many.
You've got her by at least 4 years, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Because you started at Guadalupe. But anyway, you've been around, both of you have been around about 20 years with the family business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, all right.
20 plus full time for sure.
Yeah. 602.
Does weekends count?
Yeah. Yeah. If weekends and nights count, then we're probably like around 46 years.
It really is the car wash for weekends and nights. What, I mean, it,
yeah, keep telling yourself that.
Birds chirping.
Okay. All right. Well,
no,
we're
not birds chirping. Crickets chirping. Come on.
Okay.
If you would have let it go, it would have been a real awkward silence.
I got it. You're talking about you lived during the time. You lived at home. It was Monday,
no.
Friday, and Saturday.
No.
Pretty sure no.
Okay. None of the above.
All right, well, fine. I'll figure it out at the break, and then and you two will be gone. I'll do the show. 602-508-0960.
When you asked me to move in on your street, I said about no.
When I asked you to move in on my street?
Yeah, which is a quarter mile from the shop.
Yeah.
I said blank no.
Oh, I get it now. Yeah, I said your mom and I are going to move, and you can, if you want to buy
Listen,
our
what
house.
What we're saying is, no. What we're saying is this business is a 24-hour day, 7-day week job.
And everybody, I mean, anyone who owns a family business knows that.
Or, yeah, anybody who owns a business knows that.
That you don't, it's not
and
like.
You never stop thinking about it.
Yeah,
it's always on your mind. It's always front and center. It's always, you know.
Well, you'll develop a hard drive in RAM, and you can move that crap to the RAM.
Oh,
and,
I don't know.
And it, I mean, in time, sooner or later, it's gonna. You're gonna not think about it 24/7. I know what that's like.
Yeah.
And you guys have it easier because I had a huge debt service on this building, and so
sure.
I had some
well,
other issues.
Two of us.
Yeah. So, and there's two of you, so you can share the burden. You know, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know where this is going to go. If this was a good idea or not. So anyway, real quick, you had something that we had had a couple of tires that had ended up to being defective.
Yeah, I had an email this week from a gentleman on that had a Pilot that he had said that he had followed your advice and prior to a road trip and set his air pressure to the maximum.
Okay, a Honda Pilot, we'll just clear that up.
What'd I say?
You said Pilot, but you didn't say Honda. Pilot, sorry. So we're just going to clear that.
And he, during his trip, they had separated. Two of them had separated, left sides.
Okay.
And he had emailed me asking me, do I think that that could have been attributed to, you know, change in air pressure? And the answer to the question was no. Answer to the question was is that I always, anytime I'm going on a road trip or something or towing or whatever, I always set them to max, period. So I think that he didn't have a blowout, thank God. No one was injured or God forbid, killed. But just he caught it early. He pulled over, and then he had to go back, you know, backtrack. I don't know what he said, 30, 40, 50 miles to back into Blythe to get some tires put on there. But I think that brings up the point. Make sure if you feel something abnormal, you need to pull over and look at it. He was able to see it. It was that bad.
Okay.
Or you drive it, and he said his wife drove it, and he was outside, and he could see it. But it's very important that you pay attention to stuff like that.
And I think that's the point, too. And in a synopsis kind of a way, if you're driving down the road and that steering wheel starts shaking or the seat of your pants starts shaking and the whole car stops shaking, don't think that's going to go away. That could be a bad thing. There's a lot of things it could be, but predominantly it's going to be a tire is starting to come apart.
Yep.
And so thinking that it's going to go away or that it's just the roadway is a bad idea. So you need to slow down. You need to pull off the side of the road. And really and truly, anybody can see a tire that's starting to come apart. So you stand in front of the car a long way, and you have your wife drive at you, and mm-hmm. you're watching the two mm-hmm. front tires, and you'll see a wobble on one. Or you stand behind it, and she pulls forward, and you look at the two back
or
tires.
Or another easy thing, literally, is you put your palms on the tire and rub your hands around it. You will be able to feel it. It's a bubble in the tread.
It's a bubble, a blister.
It's going to feel and look like a blister. It's going to be large. You're going to be able to feel it. It's not like a little. I mean, it's going to be, it could be, you know, 4 inches wide by, you know, 12, 14 inches long.
Okay. We've had a lot of customers call, too, and say, you know, as they're going slow in a parking lot, they can feel their steering wheel go left and right.
Yes.
And I'll always tell them, you know, it could be a tire separation, so just be careful. And I mean, I would say 8 out of 10 times they're like, okay, I'll go check, and they check and they find a tire separated.
And that's a great idea, because there is a left and right seesaw. Yeah.
At slow speeds.
And especially it's aggravated when you roll the tire over kind of on its side mm-hmm. as you turn right or to your left.
Yeah.
So you've got this big egg on mm-hmm. the tread portion of the tire. And sometimes it extends to the sidewall, so it's a little easier to see.
Yeah.
So just from a safety point of view, don't let your husband continue going into California at 85 miles an hour when the car's shaking so bad that the mirror, you can't see out of the mirror. So, or nobody can drink their soda pop because they're spilling it all over themselves. Just turn around and slap him and tell him to slow down. That's what Mom used to do to me. 602-508-0960. And I'm going to take just another 30 seconds here to talk about Action Auto. Tom at Action Auto is a friend of mine and has been since 1983. He's at I-17 in Deer Valley. If you live near I-17 in Deer Valley area, North Phoenix area, and you don't have a garage, Action Auto's on the northwest corner of I-17 and Deer Valley. He's got ASE Master Techs. He knows the right from wrong. He's a good guy. He's exactly the kind of guy you'd want to live next door to you. So, Action Auto Repair, I-17 and Deer Valley. We'll be right back. Well, today, Mark Salem, Andy Salem, and Alan Salem are all sitting here. And if you have a car question or a car problem, or if you have an argument between the husband and the wife and you want to fight about it in front of everybody else, then just call us up and give us both sides of the issue, and we will promptly vote on it. And it's not necessarily something we're going to vote based on, you know, whether genderness. Thank you. That was genderness. Is that a word?
No, I didn't say. I said gendernicity. Oh. I don't know.
Gee, you have to put up with this every day.
Yeah.
Gendernicity.
What's the proper term?
Look at him. His microphone's by his eye. Okay, can you put it by your mouth?
Yeah, I didn't want to move it.
Okay, well, no, you can move it. There you go. But just put
it in the microphone.
Yeah. You know, he's the only one that puts a headset on, and the microphone interrupts his eyeball. You know what I mean? I'm looking at him, and the microphone's hanging in his eye. Oh, boy. 602-508.
I want to mess up my lipstick.
Yeah. Some of your friends are going to call in, and this is going to get ugly. And, Gil, you keep your finger on that mute button, because we have no idea where this is going to go, especially with Alan's friends. So, holy mackerel. All righty. Well, let's talk about auto dynamics. Folks, I have a shop list that's called the Best Car Repair Shops, and it's something I've had since 1988. When you go to marksalem.com and you click on the best shop link, then it'll ask you city and automatic or a transmission shop, a diesel shop, a mechanical shop, a paint and body shop. But these guys are really the best of the best, and they've been on my list for years and years because I know them personally. And I know they're honorable, and they know how to fix cars, and they know how to bid cars, and those are not problems they typically have. Auto Dynamics is one of those as well. Chuck Nyday and his son Derek own Auto Dynamics. They're at 99, on the north side of Grand, just west of 99th Avenue, and I've known Chuck since 1968. So, and I've known Derek his entire life. So I can tell you that Auto Dynamics, it's the largest and most trusted source for complete automotive services in the Sun City area. Been around since 1982, and I'm very proud of them. They know what they're doing, and Derek has decided that staff and technicians are not paid a commission or a percent of your repair bill. Therefore, Derek can ensure you they don't sell unnecessary parts or repairs. So if you're in Sun City, I'd like to recommend, if you don't have a shop, stop by Auto Dynamics, north side of Grand Avenue, west of 99th Avenue. All righty. Anything else in your, while we're waiting for call, 602-508-0960, if you'd like to call in, 602-508-0960. Have you had any cars? Oh, I want to talk about the Packard real quick. Isn't the Packard a 40s or something like that, late 40s?
Yeah, I think it's a late 40. Is it 49?
49. That's 49. What I thought. So we have this 49 Packard that come in, and it's a gentleman that has done business before, and he has lots of older cars. Mm-hmm. This thing hadn't run in 100 years and stuff like that. So we determined that the carburetor, and it's a straight V8.
Well, it can't be a V. It's a straight 8.
Straight 8. Yeah. Okay. You're right.
Straight V8.
Yeah. It's a straight 8. So it has 8 cylinders in a row. Yeah. Kind of like a 4-cylinder would or a 6-cylinder. Yeah,
it's like a big diesel. I mean, it's big.
The motor's huge.
Yeah.
So Eddie determines quickly that it's just flooding on the carburetor. So he pulls the carburetor apart, and he finds the float is full of gas. Jeff, our parts guy, who says he can find anything in the world, he says he can get a part for anything. Of course, we oftentimes find out that he can't, but he can't find a float for this Packard.
We test them regularly, I might add.
Yeah.
We test them with all kinds of crazy stuff.
Goofy stuff.
Oh, man.
And he always pulls through, but he couldn't come up with this float. So MacGyver, which is Eddie Caruso, he decides he's going to fix the float.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the bad news. The float clearly has gas inside of it, so there has to be some kind of a breach in the float. Who's going to stick a torch on this beer can full of fuel and have it take the chance of having it blow up on you?
Somebody only once.
Yeah, only once. So I'm thinking, what's he going to do? Do you know what he did?
I don't know what he did, but I honestly don't know what he did, but I would probably drill a hole, drain it, rinse it, and then fill it.
He did see what Eddie did.
I swear to God, he didn't.
No, that's exactly what he did.
That's exactly what he did.
No, I didn't see them.
There was a mark on it already before, like somebody had done that before.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if he used epoxy or solder.
I think he soldered it because that's what it was prior.
Before. Mm-hmm. But then he had to also adjust the float slightly because of the additional weight of the solder. Mm-hmm. But when he got the carburetor on, and we had to do a water pump, and that's Jeff did find a 49 Packard water pump.
And a battery, which I've never, ever seen a battery that looks like this thing.
So he found the battery, too.
Yeah.
And I think what's kind of impressive about this is, do you know how he does that? Do you know what the key to finding that kind of stuff is?
Google.
Okay, that's fine. Google is part of it.
A computer and a keyboard?
No. Do you have any idea where he starts?
I really don't.
Mm-mm. Okay. He starts by trying to identify the original part number. And once you get the original part number, then you can Google the original part number, and you'll find that part number's been changed to this, or this guy has a whole bunch of those part numbers. So he's really good at what other people can't do, and that's finding the original part number. So he found the original part number on the water pump, and he has that here. And I think we have the radiator down at Performance Radiator, because we have to have them go through it. I think that's where he sent it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so we're waiting on that. The water pump, has it come in yet?
Nope. No, okay. It's being shipped from back east.
Okay.
What's different about the battery?
It's long. It's like 4 inches wide by like 24 inches long.
Okay.
And what's even more weird is you hook up the positive cable to the negative terminal and the negative...
It's reverse polarity.
Yeah, I've never seen that. It's weird.
And if you think about it, the positive goes to the ground, to the frame or the motor.
Yeah.
And the negative goes to the dashboard, the ignition, all that stuff. It's the same way. Everything works the same way. It's just that's the way that they used to do it back then.
Yeah.
There was other cars that were negative ground, and this just happens to be a positive ground.
Yeah.
That same guy owns that Continental that we saw in here. He, I mean, his cars are just...
pristine.
Sweet. Yeah, I mean, if this one hasn't run in, 10, 15 years, it's been garaged and it's immaculate.
No question. His cars are some of the most beautiful iron that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Rolls Royce that we had in there that had an overheat?
Uh-huh.
And it came in with the same story we hear all the time. Nobody can fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do you remember what happened on that?
I know the customer's name and face, but I don't know. I don't remember.
We fixed it.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie took taken a temperature gun, and it would overheat within 2 or 3 blocks.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a clear overheat. But everybody changed the thermostat and the water pump, and the hoses would collapse, and they put springs in them. Everybody had done a lot of work. But Eddie took a temperature gun, and it was a long 6. I think it was a long 6. And he gunned the sides of the cylinders, and he found 2 of them that were cold and other ones were hot. So he popped out the freeze plugs, all 6 freeze plugs, to look inside to see, what was in there, what was causing this cylinder to run cooler than the rest or hotter than the rest. He found that it looked like that somebody had filled the cooling system of this car with cat litter. So he took the shop vac and he made a flexible small hose and he vacuumed all of this cat litter out of the inside of this motor. So then he put it all back together, and the customer was kind of leery. I don't blame him because everybody else had said they fixed it, and they didn't. So Eddie said, well, just go take it for a drive. And he says, well, I'll know in no time.
Mm-hmm.
And Eddie said, I've already taken it for a drive, so I already know. Mm-hmm. So the guy drove, and we expected him to be back kind of quick because he was kind of leery about overheating it. But he was gone some period of time, and he came back, and he was really happy. So we've never fixed a car like that before. Mm-hmm. We've never seen that before. We don't understand what that was inside there or anything. But the key here was the temperature gun.
Right.
Him just gunning. And, on a gasoline car and on an engine car, we're going to have to come back right after this. Well, welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. Mark Salem sitting here with my daughter, Andy, and my son, Alan, and they're all part of the family business. And
I was just going to say that we've talked a lot about old cars and everything this morning, but I don't want to create the, that's not all we work on. That's kind of the fun stuff, the interesting stuff, those old cars that we get to see. But we work on a lot of the day in and day out normal.
You're right.
Everyday cars.
Yeah. I mean, we work on the wide gamut.
Yeah.
The old cars, the diesels, the new cars, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. But,
and this show is not about our shop, folks. This show is about really good shops like Thompson's Auto Repair in Mesa. Thompson's is the only shop in Mesa that I suggest you go visit. He's on Main Street just east of Stapley. It's a second or third generation of the Thompson/Vivian family. So Brian and Thelma are just the salt of the earth. They're really good people. And once you shake Brian's hand or shake his wife Thelma's hand, you'll understand why I'm sold on their ability to treat you fairly. So they have ASE certified technicians. They've been around a very long time, and they're there to keep your vehicle in tip-top shape, and they're not going to sell you something you don't need. And all their prices are going to be well within industry standards. That's Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing on Main Street just east of Stapley. William, good morning. How can I help you?
Yes, thanks. You've got a 2003, I think it's a Buick Rendezvous.
Okay.
And every year, it's not passing emissions, and it's always the EGR valve and a couple of two oxygen sensors out of four that are bad or whatever.
Okay.
Anyway, we've been, after it was replaced, having to drive it several miles to get it to recalibrate the computer or something.
Yes.
What's the deal with that? I've been driving over 100 miles now, and the mechanic says you got to drive it some more.
Okay. Well, I've got a couple of comments. So tell me, you've replaced the EGR valve and two oxygen sensors?
Yeah.
Okay. Almost every year?
The computer showed that the two out of the four were bad or something, or were not functioning right.
Okay. Well, I want to tell you something. Only 25% of the oxygen sensor codes we deal with, which is a code we deal with every day of our lives, only 25% of them necessitate the replacement of the O2 sensor.
If not less.
Here's the deal, William. The O2 sensor is the messenger. The O2 sensor says that we are out of range. We're either too lean, we need more fuel, or we have too much fuel. Lean, rich. Now, it's crazy to kill the messenger, because you're never going to reset the monitors, which is what you're talking about. And the EGR valve, if it sets an EGR valve, think about this, William, and this is the truth, I promise you. The problem is in Tennessee, and we have to find the city and the street and the address. Now, I can tell you not recently, I can tell you for sure recently, we fixed an O2 sensor code with a plugged fuel filter. The fuel filter was restricting the flow of fuel to the engine, therefore it didn't have enough fuel. The oxygen sensor was screaming, low, 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 give me more fuel. The computer was opening the valve as fast as it could, and nothing would happen. So the computer said, hey, you need to talk to the O2 sensor because he's the one that's screaming. Well, we look at the O2 and it's stuck on the lean side. So we look at fuel pressure, and it's 10 pounds lower than it should. We check the fuel filter, plug solid, put it in, and we're done. The monitor is going to reset once the computer has seen a variety of measurements. It has to see so many cold starts, so many warm-ups. It has to see different RPMs. It has to see different speeds. If the monitor doesn't reset within a week, it's because it's not going to reset. And that's because the problem is still there. In the old days, we used to, if you had a check engine light, our industry would pull the negative battery cable, reset the light, and then you'd zip over to emissions and pass.
Yeah.
And then the car makers got smart about that, and they said, you know what? We're not going to let them do that anymore. We're going to simply insist that the computer see a series of startups, warm-ups, and cool-downs called heat cycles. And so you're going to look at the heat cycle, and we're not going to close the monitor and say everything's okay until we go through this square box.
So I think he could still have to drive some more. I mean, 100 miles may not have met all the criteria to reset the monitors. I think the concerning part of what you said was that year after year, the EGR and the O2s have been replaced.
That seems to be what's on the table.
Yeah, I mean, every year that shouldn't be happening.
No, and I'll tell you something else, too. Some of these drive cycles are extremely strange.
Yeah.
We've had ones where you accelerate to 10 miles an hour and then brake. Accelerate to 10 miles an hour three times and then brake to zero. Then go to 20 and then brake to zero. And then, you know, do that three or four times. Some of these things have a very, very, very specific drive cycle they want to see. So nothing, I would just say keep driving it.
Yeah, nothing that you can go out and really recreate.
Or reproduce.
But you could, I mean, we've seen them go 300 miles and then they've reset. So okay. It can take some time.
And actually, what happens, and Alan, what you're talking about is the best way to do the plan, best way to reset the monitor switch is to have one guy drive and one guy read. And you have to be in a place where you're all by yourself. And usually we go out to the Indian reservation because it's pretty desolate out there. So it's 10 miles an hour stop, 10 miles an hour. So somebody's sitting in the passenger seat, somebody's driving, because you can't read and do it at the same time.
Yeah.
So you have to have two people. Now, really and truly, how many cars, what percentage of cars do we fix where we have to physically do the monitor reset?
Oh, I'd say less than 10%.
Yeah. Okay.
And so we give it back to the customers and we say, hey, you know, just keep driving it. And if you want, swing by. We can plug in. We can see if the monitor's reset.
Yeah.
But the issue is folks, for all of you out there, and William, you especially, if your shop looks at it and says EGR, and they bid an EGR, and if it says O2 sensor number one on the passenger side and number two on the driver's side, and they're just replacing parts, or if you're going to one of those parts store where you got a three-whiskered kid that wouldn't know his butt from a ham, then the idea is he looks at the code and he wants to sell you parts. And that's not good, because rarely is the problem related to the part. More precisely, the part is the messenger. It's saying to the computer, it raises his hand and says, hey, I need more fuel over here. Well, you can't condemn the messenger. You can't shoot the messenger every time, because that's a heck of a lot of money spent for nothing. Mm-hmm. So 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We'll be back in a minute. Ooh. Welcome back, everybody. 44 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. And we're going to go back to the phones real quick, because we've got William and Corey, and we've got open lines. So if you'd like to join us, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And so, William, I know you had a follow-up, and I'm sorry that we had to take a break, but I'm all ears right now.
Yeah, I don't know what happened with my phone. Somehow, while you were in the middle of your explanation, something cut in on my phone, some kind of YouTube advertisement, and I couldn't hear a damn thing.
Okay.
So anyway, the follow-up question was, now that I got my EGR mechanism in my left hand and then my right hand, I'd like to slap someone if I can't test this thing and find out if it's good, if it's still functional. Isn't there a test you can perform on it?
Well, you always test parts where they live. Let me explain.
I got it.
Well, wait, no. I'm going to tell you. Just hang on a minute. If it's on the car, I'm going to plug my scanner in, and I'm going to look at the EGR, and it's going to say closed. And you know how I'm going to know it's closed? It's because it has a switch on the top of it. And if it's closed, the number is 1. And if it's open, the number is 5. And if it's half open, the number's 2.5. So I'm just going to look at the O2 sensor. I'm going to start the engine. I'm going to look at my scanner, and it's going to say 1. So now I'm going to reach my finger underneath there, and I'm going to lift up on the diaphragm, and I better see that 1 turn to 2 or turn to 3. And when I open the EGR valve at idle, the motor should stumble and run really poorly, because I'm introducing air the motor doesn't want. So if I open up the EGR valve and it runs and stumbles bad, you know what I know? I know for sure the EGR passage both in and out is not plugged. Then I look at it's called the EGR position sensor. So I look at the EGR position sensor, I open it all the way, I better see a 5. I drop it down, I better see a 1. That's how you test it. How long did that take? Why didn't they do that when they did your work?
I don't know, maybe they did. But listen, when they make these things from the factory, they certainly don't put them on the engine and do that. They must have some kind of machine to test these things.
Yeah, but where are you going to find that in Phoenix?
Well, yeah.
I just gave you the way to do it, William. That this on a 1 to 10 scale in my world of auto repair, this is a 2. This is a 2. Any seasoned gray-haired master tech knows exactly what I just said. So there's no reason to replace the EGR without testing it. So, William, I don't know if... Are you going to a shop or are you going to an auto parts store? Who's the one that's guiding you?
The shop.
Okay. Shop, you need to go... You need to tell the shop, you know what? I need to go somewhere else. So I'm going to go someplace else, and you're not coming to my shop. But I'm going to go someplace else. I'm going to have them diagnose it. If they can get the monitor reset and if they can get you through emissions, I'm going to come back. I'm going to have their piece of paper. I'm going to have their explanation, and you and I are going to sit down and talk about the bill. That's what I would do if I were you. And if it was my shop, I'd say the same thing. I'd say bring that thing back.
Who's your recommendation for the North Phoenix area for these pollution control problems?
Oh, well, are you anywhere near I-17 and Bell, or are you anywhere near I-17 and Deer Valley?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
The Deer Valley Emissions Centers were attested to car.
Okay, then I would take it to Action Auto on the northwest corner of I-17 and Bell, and here's what I'll do. I'm going to give you 2-to-1 odds on a $10 bill. 2-to-1 odds. If they can't fix it, I owe you $20. If they fix it, you put $10 in the plate next time it passes you by. Deal?
Sure.
Okay, you got it. Thank you, William. Thank you very much. Corey, you're up next. Corey, how are you?
I got a problem where it's a 4-cylinder, it's from a system of scanner, and I haven't plugged in the wires all changed. And he says, well, then it's got to be the fuel injector. What do you think?
Well, it you probably had a misfire code, and he looked at the misfire code, and he goes, oh, well, let's do plugs and wires. That had to cost you a couple $100, didn't it?
It cost me about $120.
Okay, $120. So then at the end of the day, the misfire code didn't go away.
Right.
But I want to tell you, if the EGR valve is slightly open, that'll cause a misfire. If you have a vacuum leak, that'll cause a misfire. If your power brake booster's bad, that'll cause a misfire. If the injector's bad, that'll cause a misfire.
Coil.
If the coil is bad, that'll cause a misfire. If the boot is bad, that'll cause a misfire. So you got to track that down.
Four?
Oh, yeah. On number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Well, it says number 4 is the misfire.
Okay. And
or,
see.
Or swap a boot or swap a coil and
thank
see.
You. Thank
see
you.
If that. You could swap one of the spark plug boots or coils and see if the misfire follows or if it stays on 4.
But here's what he said. They did plugs and plug wires.
Uh-huh.
So he doesn't have a coil over ignition. And he could swap the injector.
Gotcha.
If the shop thinks that it's the injector, then you tell him, on your dime, I want you to swap 4 with 5. So pull the injector out of 4 and put it in 5, and take the 5 and put it in 4. Now, if the problem moves to 5, he's right.
You know what it is, yeah.
Yeah.
If it doesn't move to 5, he just spent a bunch of money convincing himself that it's not the injector. Now, it also could be a valve that has a piece of carbon underneath it. It also could be a blown head gasket. There are a lot of things. Again, on a 1 to 10 scale, this is a 4. This isn't a tough one. So you need to find a technician that's got a lot of salt. You need to find, ideally, you're going to find somebody with a little bit of gray hair somewhere on the temples, and he's been around the block a couple of times. And there's a lot of young whippersnappers that are really, really good. And if they're 28 years old and they have an ASE Master certification, that dog is a good hunter. He's going to fix your car.
How long would it take if I went that one out with the fuel injector to remove and replace?
What's the year and make of the vehicle?
96 Ranger 4-cylinder.
Oh, that's a piece of cake. I mean, that's not very difficult.
It's not throttle body, right?
No. Well, it could be throttle body.
96 Ranger?
Well, no. You know, you bring up a good point. How many injectors are on there? Is there 2 or is there 4?
Or 6?
I believe it's a 4-cylinder. It's got the exhaust side and the intake side. I imagine that 4. I don't know.
Okay. Well,
I think there's 4.
Okay. If there is 4, is it a 4-cylinder engine you have in your Ranger?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think they put throttle bodies on 4 cylinders. Oh, here's what we're thinking. The throttle body unit has 2 injectors that feed all 4 cylinders. We just aren't smart enough to know when they went to port fuel, which is each injector is each cylinder. That's
Eddie
called port fuel.
Eddie, text me. Tell me the answer.
Did he? Yeah,
no.
That's right. We're asking our Ford guy to text us, and we'll have the answer for you. But I'm going to guess that you have 4 injectors and 4 cylinders, and so you would just switch 2 of them. And if the shop is sure that that's the case, then look them in the eye, and in a pleasant way, you say, you know what? I've already put plugs and wires on it, and that didn't take care of it. And you think it's the injector. Would you honor me, because I've been a good customer of yours, and would you just go ahead and switch 4 with 1 and 1 with 4? And if you're right, then we'll put an injector in. And could we just do that so that we don't guess again?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, I understand what you're saying.
Okay. Well, good luck to you, Corey. Good luck to you. I hope that I hope they treat you fair.
If they move one injector to the other, approximately how long would that take, an hour-wise?
Oh, I think it's guess, Andy.
Oh, I don't know, but I was just going to say, I think that they should be doing that for you for free.
I do, too.
Because yeah. if they sold you, you know, the spark plug saying that that's going to fix it and you still got the misfire there, I mean, in our world, we would just swap the fuel injectors and then let you take it and drive it and see if the light comes back on.
All right, Alan, though, in time to swap two injectors on a four-cylinder port fuel-injected motor.
I mean, depending on, you know, where they're at, but I would say probably no more than an hour.
Okay, and I'm thinking a half an hour.
Yeah.
I'm thinking 30 minutes. So let's do this. Corey, it's going to be less than an hour to swap two injectors. We're best.
Okay.
And so if he's $125 an hour, it's less than $125. But I think, Andy, is if you say it in a nice way, Corey, you know, guys, I didn't know that the spark plugs and the wires was a guess. So
I'm from New York. I don't know how to do it in a nice way.
You know what? You and I would be good friends.
Because so it does have four injectors. He just has okay. port fuel injection, yeah, four injectors.
It has four injectors. You know something, Corey? I want to tell you something. My family has said that about me since day one. They say my dad doesn't know how to say something and not hurt your feelings if that, you know, and so you and I are cut from the same cloth, and that's why I'm giving you these things to say. And, yeah. and I say to people, here's the deal. When you come to my shop and I say, you need spark plugs and wires, this is what you should have said. You should have said, now, Mark, I want to make sure that you're absolutely certain that this is going to fix my problem and fix the check engine light and make the check engine light go off and stay off. Mark, my fear is that after I spend $120 that I'm going to have the same code. And at that point, Mark, I'm going to think to myself, and I know my doggone wife is going to say that they're guessing with your money, Corey. And so I want to make sure, Mark, that this is not a guess. I want to make sure you're going to fix my car. And, Mark, if the spark plugs and wires don't do it, how are we going to unwind that? Are you going to put my old plugs and wires back on and then we move forward? Or how are we going to do that, Mark? And it's a nice way to look him in the eye and say, if we're guessing, then I need to know we're guessing with your money. And if we're fixing, I'm really happy to hear you say that because I know you're confident. So I just, and you know what? New York, you can smile. You can say go to hell and smile at the same time. Andy?
Oh, I was just going to say the other thing, too, is if it's been, you know, 80 or 90,000 miles since he's done spark plugs.
It's
200,000. Oh, okay. So the spark plugs.
That was definitely a good start. They just need to let you know as a guess.
And I only paid the guy $60 to do it.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, then I would say you're not doing yourself a favor by removing those or anything because it's been that long. So leave those in there and just go forward. But I was going to say if it's been, you know, 20,000 miles and they did the spark plugs and you weren't aware that it's a guess, then I think that deal needs to be unwound and you need to find the correct fix. But since it's been 200,000 miles, you should be thanking your lucky stars.
Yeah. Well, and Corey, Andy is completely right. Whether or not that's going to fix your car, you needed plugs and wires.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And you can say to him, I needed plugs and wires anyway, so I'm happy to pay the $120 for that service. But the diagnosis from here on, I would like that to be no charge until you call me. So, can we work that out? Because, you know, you said this would fix it, and it didn't fix it. So I still like you, but let's see if we can kind of fix this. And that's what I would do. Just be nice. And, you know, are you married?
I'm divorced.
Okay. Is she a fire-breathing dragon?
Yes, she was.
You know what? I'd go get her.
Sounds like you can handle it yourself, though, right?
All righty, Corey. Well, thank you for letting us. Well, thank you for laughing with us, okay? We're not laughing at you. We're laughing with you, okay?
Okay, have a good weekend.
Thank you very much. All righty. You know, that's the tough part. And, you know, people will literally ask me, well, does your advice go to your shop? And I'm going to ask the two of you that deal with this on my behalf. Mm-hmm. Does it go here?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, if somebody says, are you guessing or fixing?
It's more followed than we could ever even explain, if you want to be honest.
And I want to tell you something else. The guys that are on our Best Car Shop, they're the same way.
Yeah.
Action Auto, Kurtz Automotive, Auto Dynamics, 25th Street Auto, Martin, Dave Martin, mm-hmm. Oak, Kelly Clark up on Glendale. All of those guys are the same way.
Yeah.
They're all the same way. Everybody on our list does the same thing. Mm-hmm. We're all gray-haired guys.
Yeah.
And so it's easy for us to say there's just too many shops that are run by young people in our business. I'm not talking about their age. They just haven't been in our business a long time. Mm-hmm. And those are the ones that are guessing.
Or corporations.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Some of the chain stores are pretty good with guessing. But all in all, it's the customer's responsibility to cover that base.
Yeah.
Are you guessing or are we fixing? Because if we're guessing, I need to know whose money we're guessing with. Are we guessing with mine or yours? Now, it would have been okay had it been a situation where they said, you got 200,000 miles, I want to do plugs and wires, you need them one way or another.
Let's start here first.
That's right. And that would have been a valid conversation. 602-508-0960. If you want to talk about a car question, you can. 602-508-0960. My name's Mark Salem. Andy Salem and Alan Salem are here with me. It's Father's Day. God bless all you fathers for being good fathers, and we'll be back talking about cars right after this. Welcome back, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. It's Mark Salem, Andy Salem, and Alan Salem. The three of us have, I don't know, I've got 39 years, and each one of you has got an easy 20 years. So I think if that's 40, that's 80 years of automotive experience right here. And Andy, you're even ASC certified.
Yes, I am.
Yep. And you have your... Yeah. And what are you ASC certified in, Andy?
The service consultant.
Yes, that's good. And Alan, do you have any ASCs?
Yes, I do.
And which ones?
A bunch of them.
Okay, well, let's hear.
There's so many I can't even name
them. What? Let's start with the first one.
Diesel.
Okay.
Brakes, suspension. Okay. Diesel, brakes, suspension.
Is it electrical?
I think
performance, accessories.
Yeah. Yeah. Diesels, black smoke. I think you have three or four.
Yeah, I do.
I think you have three or four.
I do.
All righty. Well, let me tell you who has three master technicians on their floor, and that's Kurt's Auto at I-17 in Bell. You got Kurt. He's a master tech. And folks, what master tech means is there's eight automotive sections. You can take front end, air conditioning, you can take transmission, you can take performance, you can take emissions, you can take all the different categories one by one, like Alan is. But if you pass all eight tests, you're a master. So Kurt's a master, Eric is a master, and then who's the other one?
Jeff.
And Jeff is a master. And the two young guys are the exception to the gray-haired rule, because those two guys are wizards when it comes to, finding and fixing a problem. So if you live anywhere near I-17 in Bell, Kurt's Automotive has been recognized as one of this year's Better Business Bureau Ethic Awards winners. They opened their doors in 1987. They work on gas and diesels. They have ASC Master Certified Technicians. So they're a good place. So if you don't have a shop and you live anywhere near I-17 in Bell, may I suggest Kurtz would be a great place to have an oil change done and see how you get along. Let's go to the phones, and we're going to start with Paul. Paul, good morning. Thanks for calling. How can we help you?
Good morning, Mark. Yeah, I have a niece that's selling a 1998 BMW 528i, and she's selling it to me at a reasonable price. And from what they know, it's in real good condition, except it needs brakes and tires. And I was going to ask you if you thought a BMW would be a good idea to buy, since I've been reading this. Seems to be it's expensive to fix if something goes wrong. And I was wondering if it goes wrong, things go wrong a lot on that car.
Well, tell me that. What year is it again?
I realized that.
It's a 98
BMW.
528.
I hope you're getting a really good deal.
I would say no, just because of.
Well, let's ask, how much are you paying for it, you think?
Well, she would sell it to me for between $1,000 and $1,500.
Does the air conditioning blow cold?
Yeah, I mean, everything's fine on it.
Buy it. I'm going to disagree with you two guys. It's a $1,500 car.
Yeah, no, in that sense, I get it. I'm just saying it's a 20-year-old car, and they are expensive to fix. Even the brakes on those are going to be expensive.
More than a Chevy, Ford, Toyota,
yes,
Honda.
Yes, yeah. So if
I don't know if you can do percentages. I mean, is it like 50% more or 100% more?
Oh, hold on. Yeah. Brakes are going to be, I don't know, 25% more maybe. But I'll tell you where the stuff gets expensive. It's your door panels. It's your, you know, center console, you know.
Window motors.
Stuff that's kind of exclusive to BMW. That's where it gets expensive. You know, brakes you can find in the aftermarket, brake pads you can find, you know, the fluids and the filters, all that kind of stuff. That's fine. But it's when you start getting to BMW exclusive stuff, that's where it's going to start getting expensive.
And I think, too.
Well, you know, I'm not going to be taking it to a dealership. I have a mechanic I know. He's really good. He's got all the latest equipment.
Andy?
I think, too, if you're just, you know, there's going to be little things with that year of a car or any 20-year-old car that are going to go wrong. So brakes and tires are obviously safety issues, but, you know, just be cognizant of dumping, I guess, a bunch of money into it when it's,
yeah, pick and choose.
Yeah.
But let me ask you a question. How about if what would you pay me a month to take over the maintenance? Would you give me $200 a month to take over the payments for the next 3 years?
Well, I'm not planning on paying any for me.
Okay,
but
well,
I'm sure you're saying I'm going to have to probably look.
No, I'm not. Here's what I am saying: every car, you have to pay for the use of a car in 30 days. You have to. Now, I don't care who it is. I pay mine. Andy pays her. Alan pays his. What I'm saying to you is, if that car costs you $1,200 a year to drive, let's assume that I'm clairvoyant and I can say, Paul, is you're going to spend $1,500 over the next 12 months on that car. Then maybe you say, well, what do you think about that, Mark? And I go, well, that's $100 a month for the privilege of driving the car. That's a good deal. Mm-hmm. I'm paying, what would you say, let's talk about your Camry, Andy. What would you say on a street rate, not including employee discount, but on a street rate, do you think you spend $200 a month, $150 a month?
No, I don't. I don't think. It doesn't have, you know, that much maintenance needed. But would I spend $200 a month to drive it? Yes, absolutely.
Alan, how about your Dodge truck?
Yeah, it's, I would, I don't know the answer to that question, but I would pay more than that. I'd probably pay $300, $350.
For the privilege of using it, because you can't rent a car for $300 a week. You can't rent a car for $300 for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So you're going to drive a car for 30 days, and you're going to pay $100, $200, $300. But I'll tell you what I think, Paul. If you were to put $100 every month in the bank, I think that would pretty much pay for all the maintenance on that car for the next couple years at $100 a month. Mm-hmm. I would think that would be probably good.
Yeah.
So
and here's the other thing with it. I don't need the car to drive to work. I'm just going to use it for putzing around to the store, which is a mile away, and back and forth like that. You know?
Yeah. Well, are you going to use it to pick up chicks?
Chicks?
Huh?
Chicks, right? Not chicks, right?
No, no. Hey, no, wait a minute. Are you married?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm sorry I asked that.
Then he's picking up chips.
I'm also very old.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Well, I got this mental picture of this guy buying a Beamer, and it is a sporty car, and that 5 Series is a step or two up from the 318 to 325. So this is kind of a nice car, and I'm thinking, well, maybe he's single. Maybe he's buying this car and getting a hairpiece and letting his hair blow in the wind. I don't know.
Well, that might have been 55 years ago.
Well, Paul, thank you for laughing with us. Thank you for laughing with us. Of course, I didn't think that, but Paul, I think and here, let me just put it to you in a way you're going to understand. If you don't buy it for $1,500, I will. Okay? Let me just tell you that.
That's a good deal. Huh?
So I think you should take it. And if you wanted to hedge your bet, you could take it to your garage and just say to them, would you give me a check over and tell me what it's going to need in the next 6 months and tell me what it's going to need in the next year. Now, if that comes back as $3,000 because the front end's falling apart and it needs brakes all the way around and it won't pass emissions, you might pass.
Yeah.
But if they say, you know, otherwise.
Yeah. Like I told the screener, I have a really good mechanic. He's an older guy. He works out of his garage, and he's got the latest equipment. So I'm going to take it to him, like you said.
Yeah.
And see what he says.
Yep, you're right. You're absolutely right. Well, listen, thank you very much for calling, Paul. Thank you very much. And we've got lines open, 602-508-0960, if you want to call. you know, I say things like, you know, he gets a hairpiece and he starts chasing chicks, and you guys are looking at me like...
I don't know why, because we should be used to it by
yeah,
now.
Yeah. I mean, he laughed, and I could tell that he was going to laugh at my joke. I mean, every once in a while, once a year, somebody will hang up on me yeah. and let me know that they thought that that was, you know, inappropriate, but... That's what you think. And us guys, we can tease one another like that. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. So I asked both of you, and we got about 4 minutes to fill here. And, oh, you know what? Let me do a spot here. And you think about something that's happened in the last couple of weeks that's interesting. This is what the customer said, this is what we did, and this is what we found. That kind of a thing. Okay, so I'll give you both that, and you got about 30 seconds to come up with something. Automatic Transmission Exchanges in Phoenix. He's been at 40th Street in Washington since Jesus was a baby. He has been around the block. He's been in the business since 1968, and he has transitioned perfectly from the old transmissions to the new computerized transmissions that use solenoids to shift the car. So these transmissions now have sensors in them. These transmissions can now talk to us. Although they're not always right, they at least point us in the right direction. So if you live in Phoenix and you have a transmission leak, or if you want somebody to drive your car, or if you want somebody to change your oil and filter, then Automatic Transmission Exchange is there. They're on 40th Street in Washington, and they'd be a good place for you to stop by. Andy, you're first.
I was going to talk about that.
What was that? Little yeah. sound effect.
What? I don't know.
That's your notification system, Mark.
Oh, I'm sorry. Say that again. Do it again. Oh.
You got to turn it up a little.
It, yeah. It literally sounds like someone's in the shop right now.
Seriously.
Yeah.
There you go. Perfect.
There you go.
Let me tell you what happened. Real quick.
Yeah.
This lady sent me an email, and the first two paragraphs was, we love you, my husband and I listen to you, you know, on and on and on. And she said... But I have a question for you, and I ask a favor. She says, you guys use the doorbell to let them know that you have a caller. And she says, and when you ring the doorbell, my dogs go crazy. Now, I'm going to ask you. You have a dog, and you have two.
Uh-huh.
When someone rings the doorbell, what do the dogs do?
Yeah, go crazy.
They go crazy. They bark. Does people even wake up?
His dog's name get is up.
Peepo. Yeah. I mean, who
Peepo.
Names... He's, that's what I said. Who names their dog Peepo?
The people that we got him from. I didn't name him that.
So, does
what
people...
What would you name him? It'd be good.
Harold?
Jesus. Does people bark when the doorbell rings?
Sometimes. It depends
people
on his mood.
People bark at okay.
All right.
Well, everything.
Your dog is like my dog, and our dogs go crazy.
Yeah.
So, Gil and I ask Gil, can we come up with another noise? He just needs to pot it up really loud.
Yeah.
Now, Gil, give us an example, and we'll tell you whether it needs to go higher or lower. Louder. It has to come louder. Yeah. Do it again. All right. Is that the best you can do, Gil?
I can amplify it more.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I want. You want to amplify it more. Give me the amplified version.
I'll have to do it during the break.
Okay. 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 All right. All right.
So we have a caller. That's what that means?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
And Gil, what's the name of this caller?
Betty.
Betty. All right. We're going to take Betty because we can be fudging on this break. Betty, good morning. How can we help you?
Hey, good morning, Mark. I have a 2003 F-250, and all of a sudden, the radio stays on after I exit the truck and close the door.
Okay, so the radio stays on after you shut the key off, put it in your pocket, and get out.
Yes.
Okay.
On the driver's side.
On the driver's side. Okay. Well, first of all, I think we... is it a seance where we build a fire and chant and run around the Ford and stuff like that? I think that's kind of what we need. We need to drive the demons from your truck. Maybe this. 5 gallons of gas in the front seat, a road flare, and I guarantee you the radio won't stay on. Is this Betty? I know you?
Yeah, I'm afraid you do.
Betty is our web mistress.
She's, I knew it. I said, this is Betty.
Yeah. Betty, is that true? Are you telling me that's true?
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
You know, I don't have a clue on what that could be. The radio, is it an aftermarket radio or did it
Is that a joke? Are you joking? It's a door jar switch.
Yeah, I was going to say it.
The radio stays on.
Yeah, it doesn't see the driver's door open.
Shut.
It will stay. You'll take the key out. Okay. It doesn't see the driver's door open, though. So it thinks that the driver door is still shut.
Because you know you open the door and then the radio will shut off.
You know what? I'm halfway out of the car by the time I've shut the key off and I'm out the car long before that.
Oh yeah, we've seen that. He throws that puppy in park and
I'm gone.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Door ajar switch.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Betty. Here's the deal. We want you to go outside and open up the door and see if the dome light comes on. Then we want you to mess with the door switch and see if you can get the switch to be intermittent. If the switch is intermittent, otherwise if you push it in and the light stays on, or if you let it out and the light doesn't come on, then they're right, and I'm going to admit
I'm
wrong.
I think it's something in the latch, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know that I think you've got to be able to wiggle the latch like with a little pocket screwdriver or something.
Okay, now, if that's the case, Betty, then here's what I want you to do. I want you to slam the door a couple of times and see if you can change this pattern. Because if Alan's right and the switch is part of the latch, then if you slam that thing... Now, don't slam it hard enough to blow the passenger door off that old Ford, okay? don't slam it that hard. But I want you to slam the door a couple times, even from the inside, then cycle the key on, start it up, the radio comes on, turn the key off, radio's still playing, and then open the door kind of violently and see what happens. Because if you can make it change, then Alan's right, it's the door switch.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, we were kind of thinking that was what it was, but I couldn't find a switch anywhere, so...
And if Alan's right, it's in the latch.
I think it's in the latch.
Okay.
And Eddie will call us and let us know when we're wrong anyway, because he's the Ford guy. All righty, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, the lines are wide open, 602-508-0960. Mark Salem, Andy Salem, and Alan Salem at your service. We'll be back in a minute. Welcome back, everybody. 22 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. Mark Salem, Andy Salem, and Alan Salem all at your service. Today's Father's Day. My kids decided to come and keep me company during the radio show and laugh at me and tease me. And it's okay. Some of you may be upset, but it doesn't bother me. This is part of my life for the last 40 years. And, you know, you said something earlier in the show that's kind of true. Alan aggravates his kids, too. And you kids, you know, well, at the time you got into the second grade, you guys were pretty tough.
Yeah.
And because they're, you know, do you remember working on cars? Young, bringing us tools and going to get parts when we were at Guadalupe?
Yeah.
And Alan? Mm-hmm. I mean, do you remember hanging out with the guys and helping them do oil changes and all that kind of stuff?
Mm-hmm. So,
I mean, you guys got an early start. As you know, when I was 14, I worked at Ken's Broadway Shell at Preston Broadway in Tempe, which is now a Circle K, but that's where I started. So, you know, you guys actually started a little earlier than I did.
Mm-hmm.
So, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. There's another shop in Phoenix that I like and I want to tell you about, and it's called Larry Harker's Auto Repair, 38th Avenue in Indian School. They've been around since 1967. Ellen runs the front counter. You'll deal with her first, and then Bob runs the shop. Bob is one of the best diagnosticians that I know. There are times I'm convinced he's better than me and all my buddies put together. There's times that he's pulled a rabbit out of his hat and fixed somebody's car that nobody else could fix. So if you have a story and it starts with, I've taken it to every shop in town and nobody can fix it, then take it over to Larry Harker's, 38th Avenue and Indian School, and Bob will fix it. Now, he also does all this stuff. Brake service, auto emissions, vehicle maintenance, electrical work, air conditioning work, cooling system work, tires, brakes, all that stuff. He does all that. But he just has the uncanny ability and the drive to diagnose something that nobody else can. I think it's a source of pride with him. And it should be. Because when you can fix something that three other shops couldn't, then that's kind of a badge of honor. And, of course, if you can't, then you're just the fourth shop that can't fix it.
No pressure.
And no pressure. But so I'm going to ask you, and because people are thinking about this, does that happen to us where we can't fix a car?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. Sure it does. There are times that we have said we need a fresh pair of eyes.
Yeah.
We are completely baffled by this. And the part of that surrender kind of thing is we need to send them somebody that we trust.
Mm-hmm.
So remember when Beyer Motor Works, the BMW shop, mm-hmm. was there? When we got in trouble on a BMW or we just couldn't figure it out, we would call or we would send it there.
Yeah.
And they always did good because mm-hmm. they're a specialty shop.
Yeah.
So, and you know that they're not, it's not buyer anymore.
Yeah.
They've sold and it's under new ownership. But if the technicians are still there, then that probably means a lot. And hopefully that the management won't change the way that they've been doing business to a large extent.
Mm-hmm.
So 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960 if you have a car question or a car problem. And Betty.
Well, hold on. I got an update for you here.
Okay. What did Eddie, by the way, folks, Eddie is our Ford technician. He's been with us 29 years.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He listens to the show at home. Right now, he's in his dirty underwear watching TV from 100 years ago. Yeah, he has his da-da-da-da-da-da-da on. and he's home, and he's probably watching Donald Duck, quack, quack, quack. What's he doing?
He's not watching TV.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. He don't have a TV.
He doesn't have a TV.
He doesn't.
Shh, calm
by
down.
Choice.
Well, yeah.
He doesn't watch TV, have cable.
Yeah, I come into work and I go, hey, man, did you see that? Never mind.
Because he doesn't watch TV.
No.
Okay. Well, he does run.
Oh, yeah.
And his kids are deeply involved in sports and he's with them.
Yes.
But he listens to the show and I say, you know, why don't you come here? And he goes, I live 155 miles away from the shop. He says, I leave at 3 o'clock in the morning to get there.
Yeah,
and, he does live quite a ways away. But he's always our go-to guy. So when he listens to the show and we make a mistake, he then chimes in with a text. And then we have to clean the mess up.
Yeah.
We have to say, we're sorry, Eddie's right, and we're wrong. But we have Jason, and we have Adam, and we have Ron, and we have
Scott, John,
and John. We've got guys that can pull rabbits out of their hats, too.
Oh, yeah.
But Eddie's been with us 29 years, and I think he's by far the longest, other than you two, he's been there longer than you guys have.
Yeah.
He's been with the family business longer than you have.
So he said there is two switches on the latch inside the door. One is for the dome light, and the other is for the retained accessory power, or RAP. So basically, your dome light thing won't work because it's a separate switch.
Yeah, and that's exactly why he said it that way, is he's in a nice way. He's saying Mark's full of crap.
That's right.
Yeah, and that's
why he doesn't have to say it in a nice way. He knows that. You can turn the key off. What? You can turn the key off. There should be a comma there.
Okay.
Remove the key, comma, and still have the radio play and the power windows functional for about 7 minutes. Then it time out or immediately time out when you open the door.
Okay.
Hey, we need some punctuation in those things.
Like he's got a lot of time to sit there going, comma,
kidding.
Comma. I'm going to tell you about something about Eddie. And I don't know if you've heard the story before, but a long time ago, I interviewed Eddie.
Yeah.
And during the time I interviewed, he's yawning. And he is bored stiff. And I'm asking him, have you ever rebuilt a quadrajet carburetor? Do you know anything about Hollies? Do you know anything about C6 transmissions? Oh, yeah, I do. And I'm thinking to myself, this is ugly. So I say to your mother.
You're hired.
I know. I say to your mother, I'm not hiring this guy. And she says, we need a technician. And I said, I don't know. He didn't ooze with confidence. And she says, well, just hire him. So fast forward a year. I recognize that's the first time I've ever run across someone who had an abundance of self-confidence. Mm-hmm. I was boring him with all my stupid questions. So I hire him, as you well know, and he's been with us now 29 years, and here's the question. We do something special at 10 years, 15 years, and 20, and 25. What the heck are we going to do?
I don't know, something really good for 30.
Yeah, for 30 years.
At least like a $30 gift card.
Yeah. You know what? That goes for you, too. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the employees.
Oh,
not for me.
Jesus Christ. That is so ugly. We should get together and brainstorm something.
Gets together.
You know,
get together after the break.
Well,
we'll come right back.
Let's get together and see what we're going to do for Eddie. We can have somebody go paint his house. You know what? I got 4 seconds. We'll be back. 602-508-0960. Well, welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. Alan just ran out of the studio. Did he have to go to the bathroom or something like that?
I'm not sure what just happened.
Yeah, I'm not either. It's just you and me. Why don't you lock the door behind you there and he doesn't have to come back at all?
No kidding.
Anyway, 602-508-0960. Let me turn off the speakers, and then it won't sound so bad. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. And can you think of any other cars that either ate our lunch or something like that, you know, that that was difficult at best for us to kind of figure out what to do? Go ahead, pick it up.
There wasn't not one that was difficult, but I was going to bring up that Escalade that we saw this week, Al, the differential.
Transfer, what?
The transfer it, case?
Front differential.
Front differential.
Okay, so what did it come in for? What were the symptoms?
He was just having a noise, right?
Yeah, it was at somewhere else, and they wanted him to do some bearings in the front front differential. It was an all-wheel drive front differential. So we, Adam, got it apart, and it looked like, I don't know if you know what anisees looks like, but they don't know what but it looked like a silver sparkly toothpaste. The whole inside was looked like that.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
It was coming apart.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah,
it was
yeah.
The metal, the silvery toothpaste you're talking about is a gray matter with some specks in it, and that tells us that the gears are eating one another alive.
Yeah, and I'm talking like handfuls of it.
Okay. Here,
it's radio.
Well, not a good. That's going to.
Well, I know. I was just going to show Dad, but okay. He's good at explaining it all. But
and you know what else that I like, and I'm going to take a side track. First of all, what we're talking about is there's a thick gear oil inside the front differential, and when we normally take that apart, it's going to be kind of the consistency of syrup. Okay, and it has syrup in it, and it's also got an amber kind of color to it. Mm-hmm. What you're talking about is this gray matter that's ground up metal with specks in it, which is the hardness that's coming off the gears. Mm-hmm. So that is the death knell. I mean, we're done.
Yeah.
This thing
yeah.
is going to yeah. have to be completely rebuilt.
Well, we replaced it, but okay.
Did you replace the entire from tire to tire, or just the third member in the pumpkin?
No, the whole thing.
The whole enchilada.
Yeah, the whole enchilada.
Okay.
And the thing, too, is he had been hearing this noise for
a very long time.
Yeah, he said about a year, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
8 months or a year. And we told him if you would have done it at that point, we probably could have rebuilt it.
Okay.
Which was...
And that differential has a left axle bearing and a right axle bearing, and then it has two on the pinion. And so that's it. It's got two carrier bearings.
This is the shorty
bearings.
One.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's got two carrier bearings, and then it's got two on the pinion. And the carrier bearings are going to be carrying the ring gear, and then the pinion has two.
Yeah.
Basically, most differentials is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So we replace it. What was that bill like? Do you remember?
I'm gonna
guess that we were in the $1,400 to $1,800 range.
No, it was more than that because it was a complete remanufactured unit.
Okay, from rotor to rotor. So you did the all the way.
No, it's just
4 foot wide because it has independent axles on the front.
Yeah.
All right,
that assembly. I don't remember what it was. I know we did some other work as well. So
okay. So I think the message there is if you have a noise, it's better to have it addressed sooner than later because, like you said, had we been in on the first 30 days of this noise, we probably could have replaced all the bearings and cut his bill by 75%.
Not quite that much, but yeah, I mean, it would have been much less parts, about the same labor, a little bit more labor probably, actually, but yeah, I would say it would have been a significant amount.
Okay.
Significant amount.
And let me take a look at your picture.
Well, I just did a little video, and this is just me taking a magnet, and you'll see how it just attaches all to the end.
Well, that's ground-up popcorn. It looks like it's gray popcorn.
Yeah.
Now, that's something else on the social media side.
Yeah.
We're doing that a lot. We're taking pictures of what we see, and we're sending it to the customer.
Uh-huh.
And that really does enhance the whole relationship between us and them. What I like, I think I saw... one of them the other day, and I think it was Ron. He had an old motor mount next to the new motor mount, and he took a picture of it with the shop phone.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gave it to one of the service riders to have him send it.
Mm-hmm.
The customer can see clearly if they're both mounts are the same, but this one's broken and this one's brand new.
Yeah.
And so the customer can kind of see. Not, and many shops do that, but most of us are giving them the old parts back too.
Mm-hmm.
So when they go home, the husband says, well, what'd they do? Well, you replaced the motor mount. Well, how do you know it's bad? Well, it's in a bag in the front. Go get it. So he walks in, he takes it apart, and if he knows what he's looking at, he goes, oh, it's broken in half.
Yeah.
And so that social media has been a good thing for our repair industry, but I imagine the bigger you are, the more difficult it is to pull that off. And so we're not too big to be able to do that. And I think you have a company phone that we use.
Yeah, we have a company phone that we use to send it to customers. And then I'll post some of the stuff that we see on Instagram, on our Instagram, just day-to-day different stuff.
Okay. Tell me how they go to Instagram. What is the name of our...
Oh, you just can search SalemBoysAuto.com, or not .com, SalemBoysAuto on Instagram. And then, I post different pictures on there of different stuff we see, vehicles we have in the shop, just all sorts of different stuff.
Okay, and are you given a narrative for the pictures?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they're not just looking at pictures. You're saying this picture represents this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. 602-508-0960. If you have a car question, you certainly can call us. 602-508-0960. We'll be right back. Yeah, I will. And I said, okay, good. So I went down to a shop. It was 3 miles away. And he showed me the flex plate. It's called a flex plate, but it's an automatic transmission flywheel.
Mm-hmm.
It connects the transmission to the engine with what we call a flex plate.
Mm-hmm.
So a flywheel is a clutch, is a manual transmission device.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the center was broken.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, this was the wrong. And I said, well, how did you diagnose that? And he goes, well, as we disabled each cylinder on this Cadillac, it didn't make this worse. And he says, if you had a rod knock and you pulled a spark plug wire on that cylinder, the knock changes. But it had a knock, but it had a broken flex plate.
Okay.
And so we learned from that.
Yeah.
So that would be part of what you're showing people. And now, do you have the brand new one and the broken one?
No, on that one I just have the just the broken one, just kind of in two different pieces and showing you. And just I've got an evaporator one that had a bunch of, obviously, dirt and dust and buildup. And
this is kind of a radiator-looking device, and it looks like it has a mat of grease and hair, dog hair leaves, all over the one side of it, which obviously inhibits its ability to do what it's supposed to do because it's no longer airflow can no longer pass through this radiator.
Yeah.
And so it's blocked, and so that either caused the air conditioning to malfunction or it caused the car to overheat. Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay, let me do a real quick spot. S&S Tire has three locations in Peoria, Surprise, and Goodyear. They've been around since 1976, and like our shop, they're in their second generation. So Bob, the owner, has now passed the responsibility to his boys. So they offer a comprehensive line of tires and many different brands of tires, so no matter what you want, whether it's a wheelbarrow or a tractor or anything in between, S&S Tire has it. They'll balance your tires, they'll do alignments and suspension work, and what's good about buying your tires from a shop that can do alignment work? Reading the old tires is very important. It's very difficult for someone to bring their car to us and say, I need you to align it, and it has brand new tires on it, because we would love to see the tires that were taken off of it so we can see the wear pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Because the wear pattern will tell us whether it's a camber problem, a caster problem, whether it's a toe problem, whether it's a shock problem. It tells us all of that kind of stuff. Right,
yeah.
Alan?
Yep.
Okay. So, but an S&S is kind of nice because they do all of that. So if you do tires, they've seen the old ones,
mm-hmm.
and that's kind of nice. So if anything, take the old tires with you and show the shop that's going to do the alignment.
Yeah, or take a picture at least just be able to explain at the, minimum.
Okay. All righty. So, and that's kind of an important consideration. That makes our job easier, and it also benefits the customer because if they come in, Alan, and the tires have pristine wear patterns, and there's nothing unusual, when they want to spend $100, $125 for an alignment, we can easily say, you don't need one.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
No.
Just by reading the old tires.
Yeah.
How often, Alan, do people come in and ask for an alignment, and you find out that really what they asked for was not the problem?
A lot.
Okay.
A
so,
lot.
Like vibrations.
Vibrations.
All the time.
All the time.
I've got a vibration. I need an alignment. That's not going to...
You hear it all the time.
Yeah.
So at that point, it's important to question them about their symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
Will they typically share that with you?
Or? Typically.
Okay.
Yeah.
I find that guys sometimes will just kind of say, no, I want an alignment.
And yeah.
The difficult part is I will say it as nicely as I can. You have to understand that we're working through your eyes. So if this doesn't fix the problem, you still have to pay for it because you're driving the train. So if you won't share the symptoms with us, then we're happy to align it.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't fix your problem, that doesn't mean you're going to come back and say, I want my money back because you guessed we didn't.
Yeah.
So what else do you find with alignments other than vibrations?
They're very complex. They, between a pull and a drift and a return to center and a...
you know.
A return to center is as you make a right turn into Safeway and you let go of the steering wheel and the steering wheel spins back and brings your car, your tire straight ahead. That's
right.
Called return to center.
Right.
If the car doesn't have return to center, the owner knows it.
Right.
Because they turn the steering wheel right and they normally let go of the steering wheel while it recenters the car straight ahead, but it doesn't. So they continue to make the right turn and that kind of scares them. But I like what you said. You said vibrations and you said it pulls. And how many times do they ask for an alignment? And in reality, it's a radial pull, it's a tire pull, and it doesn't need an alignment. It either needs a tire or we cross the fronts and the pull goes away. How often? Half, three quarters, 25%?
I would say 20 to 25%. Mm-hmm.
Of the time, it's not an alignment if it's a pull. It's a tire or a rotation
issue.
Yeah,
probably. Yeah, okay. Probably.
So the car comes in and it's got a drift or a pull to the right or the left. The first thing we want to do is cross the front tires. And so if we cross the front tires and the pull moves, that's not an alignment.
Right.
If we cross the front tires and it still pulls to the right,
could be an alignment.
It could be an alignment. So after we do that short diagnosis, then we know whether it's an alignment or not.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the symptoms are kind of important.
Very important.
And Andy, do you find that there's a difference in the customer's ability to give you symptoms, whether they're men or women?
Some. I don't want to, umbrella every man, but yeah, there's definitely, there's women that come in that have been told, you know.
That's as bad.
Yeah, I need an alignment, and they don't know why, but that's what they've been told by their son or brother or whoever.
Or YouTube.
Yeah, or YouTube, but, I mean, we had a guy the other day that just came in and said, I need this replaced, and, you know, you have to go through and ask why and ask questions, and I know they always don't like that, but it's really in their best interest.
Well, that's part of what it's all about. Yes,
yeah.
Sir. We have somebody is standing in the wings, and the doorbell didn't ring, so the dogs didn't bark. So, Gil, bring them on up.
All right, it's Mario.
Mario, good morning. What's up?
Good morning. I got a foreign car, and it's 1977 X19 Fiat with transmission issues. When I'm shifting from second to third, it grinds unless I do it really slowly. And then when I shift from third to fourth, it's just a bear trying to, get it in fourth gear.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find out, basically I'm looking at maybe putting a 5-speed and not trying to fix the 4-speed.
Well, that's going to cost a lot more money because when you put a 5-speed, then we have to change the cross member. We have to change and track down the other drive shaft.
Uh-huh.
The shift linkage will be different. Your shifter will be different. You're talking about it. This could cost you 4 or 5 times what it would cost you to just to fix your 4-speed.
Okay. Well,
so
that solves that problem then.
Yeah. What part of town do you live in?
I live in Goodyear.
Okay. Does Lorenzo do sticks? The manual transmissions? I'm asking you.
Yeah.
Does he?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna ask you to call my son, Alan, who's sitting here next to me on Monday.
On Monday, okay.
Yeah, and I'll give you the number, 480-598-1234. And we have a wholesale guy that does not deal with the public. But we respect him a lot. And so Alan is going to talk with our transmission guy and talk with you. And I guess the question is this. He obviously has a problem with the synchronizer from second to third.
Okay.
Then he also has the same problem from third to fourth. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So we have a chatter from second to third and from third to fourth. And the question to Lorenzo is that the same synchronizer, A? B, it's a 77 Fiat, Can you find parts for that? And is that some synchronizers that you can access to? Now, he's going to say, I want to take it apart before I order synchronizers, because it could be a bushing or a bearing that's causing this shift issue.
Mm-hmm.
But you cannot go to him, because he doesn't deal with the public. You think I'm crusty? You ought to see him. But he is one of, is he not the best transmission guy we've ever met in our life.
Yeah.
No
question.
He is absolutely amazing. So it would be one of those situations that we don't make any money on the turnaround, So if you wanted to take the transmission out, bring it down, he'll take care of it. Or you could bring the car to us. We'd take the transmission out and then take it over there. So we'll help you. Now, you can also pick on the west side. On the west side north of you, way up on Deer Valley Road, there's a transmission shop called A&S. A&S Transmissions. And his name is Alger. And he does some retail work. Alger was a kid that worked for me in high school and in 1979, and he must have weighed 110 pounds. Mm-hmm. And 2 years after he worked for me, he took an automatic out of his Nova and put a four-speed in it. And for somebody who was 16, 17 years old to do that, I was always impressed. And today, he's one of the two best transmission guys in the entire city of Phoenix.
Okay.
So
I pulled the tranny out before myself, so that's,
okay.
You know, I can do that.
Now, so you might take it over to Alger and let him drive it and feel what you're talking about, and if he says, I need the tranny out, then you do that.
Okay.
All righty?
Do you have the idea? I guess you wouldn't know until they drive. Okay.
Yeah, he'll give you numbers. He'll give you numbers. The hardest part's going to be finding parts for that. That's going to be the hardest part.
But, okay.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. All righty, we want to talk about Strictly Diesel real quick. And Strictly Diesel is up off of Pinnacle Peak Road and I-17. And we know a lot about Strictly Diesel because we respect them. They do diesel work. They do both foreign and domestic. They do light diesel trucks. They're located, like I said, I-17 and Pinnacle Peak. Nate is a good guy. Nate is very big, very tall, and he has hands like tennis rackets. So you don't want to make him mad because he's a tough guy. But nevertheless, Strictly Diesel is a great place for service and repair. My name's Mark Salem. We'll see you next Saturday.